I can't get back to my equalization.
Create a different file, however that works. All right, I call the board regular meeting of the Board of Supervisors at this time, and it's 8:51. And again, we'll announce the postings of the Open Meetings Act, and we'll have attendance by observation. So that's done. There's six of us here. We're good to go. The consent agenda is before us. That would be to approve the regular agenda, to approve the minutes of the meetings held on October 11th of 2010, approve all claims through August 25 of 2010 in the amount of $483,539.24, approve and place on file correspondence received, approve canceling check number 12638 to Visa in the amount of $1,560.78 due to finding an item at a lower price. I did research that a little bit. It had to do with Tom Russell, who's doing the sound work in the courtrooms. And apparently that's been worked out through the clerk's office to take care of that, should we approve. Number six, approve declaring unit number 18431, 84 Ford 4 axle semi tractor, serial number 1FDYA90X2EVA5878-1, as surplus and selling it on the Purple Wave Action site. And number seven, accept and advertise bids for flooring in the district courtroom and adjoining district court offices, which would be opened on September 22nd at 9:30. Do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Yes.
Okay, moved by Ron. There, second.
Second.
Oh, who moved that? Oh, Gary. How come I was looking at you too? Okay, moved by Gary, second by Ron. Sorry about that. Okay, please vote. And looks like a 6-0 to approve the consent agenda. All right. At this point, we'd entertain comments from the public and any requests that there might be for future agenda items. And I think, Bill, is this the point you wanted to come forward? And then after Bill, anybody else that would have any comments from the public?
My name is Bill Wheeling. I reside at 2501 Lincoln Street. Thank you, Dave. And I'd like to just quickly go over a couple things here. My main item is I kind of got roped into some work here a couple years ago that I realize now I probably shouldn't have got roped into it, but I got roped into it nonetheless, and I'll explain how that happened. But anyway, I'd like to just, before I do that, I'd just like to say a quick few things here that is my problem, and, well, it's kind of your problem, too, but I moved to Beatrice in 1961, so I've been about a 49-year, 5-month citizen here, taxpayer. And just to give you some idea, our taxes that I'm confronted with next week that our company and our people are paying to the treasurer here is $12,550.16. Now, our 2008 tax was due in 2009 was approximately the same. So you can see in the last couple of years that I've been trying to collect my money for the work I done, the $6,000, I've been paying $25,000. And that's pretty tough to come by when you can't collect your own money. So that's kind of the problem I'm confronting with here. And I'm not, saying who or what or anything else. I'm just trying to explain this is my problem. And since 53% of our cost of operating our business is labor, I've got to make payroll today. So not only do I have to make payroll today, I got to get my taxes by tomorrow. So this is a real problem when you don't collect your money. So at any rate, but that kind of is giving you a little background. In the 49 years and 5 months I've been here, I really don't believe I ever missed a tax payment. I don't recall missing one, let's put it that way. And I'm not going to miss this one, I'll guarantee you, even as tough as it is. But at any rate, what happened here a couple years ago is I was kind of following what was going on. I was reading the papers. I seen where the board hired an architect and like that. So, but I didn't pay a lot of attention to it because I really, you know, I've got a business to run, and you guys can take care of this. I don't have to worry about this. So I just kind of went on about my business. Well, a couple months after that happened, I get contacted in my office by the architect that the board supposedly hired. Well, I don't supposedly. I think you did hire. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't at the meetings or anything. But at any rate, this person contacts me, and he calls me, and he says, the board wants to get going on this courthouse project. Well, I think he said they told me to get going on this courthouse project. Now, I'm not sure I'm saying this verbatim. This is 2.5 years ago, so I'm just kind of trying to tell you what happened. So he tells me that, and I said, okay. He said, they told me to go ahead and get this survey done that we need for this. Can you do the survey? Well, having been the county surveyor for about 35 years, I would say I could probably do the survey for it. So I said, yes, I can do that survey. He said, okay, you go ahead and get started. And when you're done, they said to send the bill to the county, which I did. And that was 2 years ago, and I'm still missing $6,000 off my bill. So that's my problem. That's where I'm at. And I just wanted to explain it to you. It's my fault to get caught up in one of these things. But I couldn't help but believe when the man's coming over and telling me, the board's telling me this, the board's telling me this, and I read in the paper he's their man, I really didn't think the guy was lying to me. I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't want to think that, and I don't think he was. I think he was sincere. But I'm the one that ended up kind of on the short end of the stick here. So that's my problem. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Bill. Does everyone feel they're up to speed on this? Or can I? Any other comments from the public? And then I think the board will have a little bit of comment. We're not going to get into dialogue back and forth.
I don't think we can.
But
I don't think we can.
Do you want to address the issue in any other way?
I don't think we can. Okay. It's just for public comment, and you're done.
Maybe it could be an agenda item next time or something.
We have to decide whether I saw that you had to.
Thank you, Bill. We know this is ongoing, and in case there's any member of the public or the press doesn't know the rest of the story, we'll probably try to explain our side next week. So if you're welcome to come back, I guess, if you want to. But
well, and anybody, if they've got any questions, anybody can call me up. I'm available all the time.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill, especially for all your past service.
Yeah, the other issue on it, David, is that we had a motion, so the only people who could bring it back would be the people that voted in opposition.
Would be against.
What if I wasn't here? Can I put it on? I was absent.
If you weren't here. Yeah, there was a board action about whether to finish paying his bill or just who is responsible. And so it's been publicly discussed to some degree. But if somebody can figure a way and wants to bring it back, I think, you know, follow up, further explanation would certainly be good for everyone. So maybe, Clerk, can you look into that? Who was here, who wasn't, who voted against?
And whether or not if somebody wasn't here could add it to that.
Yeah. I would think anybody who didn't vote for it could, whether they're here or not. So would be my parliamentary guess on that.
Well, being here is like a no vote.
Yeah, well, not really, but...
Well, yeah, because you can't...
But at least wasn't... Just didn't vote for it. All right, enough babbling at the brook here. Marlon, are you ready for your report?
Yep.
Oh, Marlon.
Well, I think I gave you
$15 by finding a cheaper price. That's what we ended up paying.
That was advertised at 9 o'clock, right?
Makes sense to me.
I mean, was that last time?
You bet.
I told her to get the mail now before.
Have we got one?
The one you want, I think.
Okay. Good morning.
I hear they didn't get on the agenda again.
Well, I know. I always go through papers and we'll check them on the agenda, so it's...
If you take one on the chin for the team, you might...
Oh, yeah. It was our fault. It was our office.
All right, Marlon.
Okay, I'll start on my report with a zoning. We're planning on setting up a hearing at the Planning Commission level to make a recommendation on the wind regs, comp plan update, and any zoning regulation changes. Keep in mind, we've been updating the zoning regs as we went along. You know, I don't think there's a lot there. We've looked at several items, and basically the Planning Commission is happy with, you know, the discussion was the setbacks, whether they were good or not, and the Planning Commission is pretty comfortable with them. And so, anyway, that will be coming up. We'll be mailing out the proposed wind regs and comp plan to the board also, so you can start reviewing them. But we are trying to set that hearing up for September, maybe 15th. We'll have to check with the clerk. So, moving on to the highway department. In your packet, I have the Title VI report that we have to put into the state. Has to be done by, it was supposed to be done by July 31st. They extended it to August 31st, so I submitted it. I'm talking with the human resources up at the State Department. Basically, what I did was fill out the who the coordinator is, some of the demographics they wanted from the county. Otherwise, the other stuff, like all their, we adopted the policy, but we have to have some basic operating standards for these. This actually supposed to be an ADA, 504 ADA committee, and with the coordinator and taking care of all this stuff. I copied it to the county attorney also. As far as I know, and I'll hear back from this Carrie Williams at Nebraska, whether we're okay with what I submitted. Moving on to the...
Just specifically for federal grants or for the stimulus money? Or what has triggered this?
Any federal money you get, and basically there by law you're supposed to have the ADA non-discriminatory policies. Anyway, it's just the right now the federal process for doing these projects is pushing it. I mean, but it's a county-wide thing that
I guess we've turned over a lot of officers and stuff here, but I believe the county has always had an ADA policy, but you weren't able to come up with a different one? Or
there was
over the years we've had ADA
committees.
There's
an ADA committee that didn't know they were on the committee. So
I thought we just approved one here about a month or so ago.
ADA
yeah.
committee?
No,
when
no
you
the
safety.
Oh, the committee. I thought we had approved that.
I think it's it was talked about, but there's got to, I mean, we've, let's, if this is an update and this works for the feds, I mean, great, and I'm glad you did it, but I'm.
But we're going to have to take this, the county, as a county, a little more seriously if we're going to continue to get these federal funds, and because they're coming down to my bridge, not my bridge site, Gates County's bridge site on Friday for a federal audit.
Jeez.
So
they're laying carpet upstairs, so that's heavy duty carpet.
That's heavy,
really.
As long as they don't come through, I'll be laying it down here.
Okay, but that, you sent this in, and
yes.
you copied this from some county who's using it, I assume?
This is the form the state sent me.
That's okay, and so it should be approved, no hassle, but...
Well, and basically, this is the form. This isn't the report.
Yeah.
And I presume that report has to be filed with the county board.
And yeah, and it has to be. I mean, there's just so much. You know, we need it. A lot of counties they're putting the attorney's office in charge of it.
So you sent this to the county attorney, hoping that he would complete it, or?
Well, I just sent a copy of him because it was getting to the point where we
all do the 31st.
Yeah.
What's the board's wish on this? What? I mean, somebody's got to take this by the horn.
Well, you guys appointed me to do the title. Be the coordinator, but there's,
from talking with Marlon, there's so much stuff involved that we have to do as far as complying with meetings and the way we handle even people coming in here that it's, I think we're going to have an attorney.
I had the same
look at some of this.
For federal grants, too. I took upstairs to the county attorney this week. It was a whole packet. I don't know what it all says, so I took mine up to the county attorney and to Randy and told him to take a look at it and get back to them. It's basically the same thing. For any federal money anymore, they told us at our last emergency management meeting that we're going to have to abide by these and someone's going to have to be in charge of it.
For the audio record, that was Mark Meintz, Emergency Management Director, who also deals with a lot of federal funds. So we've got at least two major agencies with kind of pushing issues. What do we want to do?
Didn't we approve something not that long ago along these lines, or what was
we worked on? We adopted some resolutions and adopted a resolution appointing the county clerk, the coordinator, which... If you want to do it legally and everything, I think it should come from the attorney's office.
But what we've done to this point in time suffices what they're asking.
We
may have to go back and have a different coordinator.
We have to get in the nuts and bolts and actually do a program. Actually, you know, have a process for, you know, if there's somebody comes in that's. Like they were wanting to know on different, any different race or anything. If there's enough need, then you have to post stuff in different languages, stuff like that. So.
But do you need to come back to us in 2 weeks and recommend to us a new coordinator? If you think it should be somebody from the county attorney's office?
I guess I don't really want to say that specifically, but I know the county attorney's office needs to be involved with it to make sure we're following all.
And again, it really shouldn't be the highway superintendent's job to make this happen countywide. You know, I mean, that's my understanding. Yeah. And, you know, because Mark's in it, you know, we're in it, and we got that $98,000 energy grant. Heck, we're in it. I would think the direction should come from the board, and to this point, we've dumped it on the clerk, who apparently needs the attorney's help to even get it going. So I think it's up to the six of us here today to give some direction.
It's due the 31st of August already.
Yeah.
Well, this has been, we've got this submitted, but we have to move forward from here. It's just going to get.
Got this one. Okay,
you completed the requirements in this document and sent it in already, correct, Marlon?
I filled it out. Like on the number one there, it's, have you submitted Title One, Title Six Information Plan, the NDR? I just said put in progress. Then I identified the coordinator right now as Gage County Clerk, presently Don Hill. Then I put the demographics in. Then the other number three, I put none yet as far as studies and providing data to relative minority persons, neighborhoods, income levels, stuff like that. So, and then the complaint process needs to be set up also. So it's an ongoing thing.
Okay, when you send in, what did you say on complaint?
I just sent this in.
So there was there was really nothing done on complaints, public outreach activities, education and training.
Right.
Basically, you did the first three things and nothing else.
Yep. And I think that'll suffice for our annual report. And I'll hear back from Carrie Williams. I just sent it to her yesterday or the day before. I don't remember when.
This satisfies your highway department
reporting
folks,
yeah.
You think. And then, as Mark said, he's got kind of a parallel track going that he's got to deal with. Sheriff's office run into this recently, or are the feds stepping up anything for you guys?
Or? Not well applied for. They have not seen anything that's out of the ordinary from the past.
I think we definitely need to refer it to the county attorney's office for review and recommend any action this board needs to take. I'm quite concerned that we've answered three questions and the rest of it we haven't, and how they would accept that as being done.
wonder, again, it's not specifically on the agenda, but by consensus, could the vice chairman and the clerk send a note that after discussion we feel the county attorney needs to direct us on this?
That'd probably be a true statement,
right?
Yeah.
Okay with everybody?
Yep.
I guess that's what we'll do in lieu of an agenda item. Okay, Marlon, thank you for bringing that to our attention, and thank you for filling it out to the degree you did. And
well, that's a report, and this Gail at the state said that, you know, a lot of counties, it's just kind of, some of them have got a pretty good process. It's rather lengthy. I tried looking through some of it, but she just basically it says progress or annual report. And that's where we're at right now, so that's what I said. Anyway, moving right along. You know, last meeting I brought up that FEMA trailer, and I guess we didn't discuss it a lot. I need to get some direction on what we want to do there. If it's a possibility, should I go ahead with some more quotes or...
I think it probably needs to be an agenda item so we can kind of legally and whatever discuss it. Gary, I know you had a comment last week. You're waving your hand. Do you have a quick comment?
Got the same one.
Week?
We ought to have our head examined if we're going to put a basement for that kind of money under a $2,000 trailer house. I mean, it's a, pardon it, me, but it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen come up since I've been here, I think.
Okay. Any other comments? Yep. All right.
Well, if you get an up or down vote on it, you just need to put it on the agenda whether or not we should or not.
Well, it needs to be on the agenda with some additional background information. Right. Road and Bridge has been somewhat aware of the thoughts being that, you know, because we don't have a very adequate facility down there, at least in some folks' opinions, and this was an inexpensive thing that could help augment that facility down there and to make it safe and usable, being trailer homes or modulars aren't the safest thing in a windstorm, that and for storage, that was the whole idea of the basement. But it really needs to be on the agenda and before we discuss it a whole lot. And so that's a couple comments on it. Marlon, why don't you, if you want to pursue it, first of all, get out an information packet and your reasoning for wanting to do it. And any backup by, if I think Mark's gotten along with it pretty well, and we got it at a good price and all that. Background each and every board member, that'd be my advice, and then get it on the agenda, and then we'll either be done with it or, you know, instead of just kind of drizzling along with the idea. So.
And there are modular homes out in our community that have basements under them.
Yeah.
I mean, they have drains in there, I suppose, but I mean, they do have basements under them. Maybe they're better built homes. I don't know, but there are.
Some people, that's all the home they ever have. So,
the current condition of this particular one is deteriorating as it sits. And so,
is it?
Ask Mark.
There's some.
He told me it's falling apart inside, right?
We'll have a one heck of a modular home covering up some really nice concrete work. And
well, okay, so the chair says enough for now. Let's get it on the agenda in 2 weeks. If you want to put a formal, you know, like I said, bring all the members along at the same pace. I think you'll be surprised. We can make a lot better decisions that way. And give us your rationale as to why and if and where and... And you've got at least one estimate on cost, and then let's discuss it thoroughly in 2 weeks and up and down it and be done with it. Okay, what else you have, Marlon?
The crews, we did get done with the shouldering on the Zion Church blacktop. We moved down, tearing the bridge out at North 12 paddock. The dirt crew is doing that with their excavator. Then the bridge crew is going to build a new bridge there. The dirt crew is going to start doing the projects that we've had planned for this summer. There's some structures we already got, or culverts we got laying on the ground. We're going to start with them, and there's one that's washed out that we need to undermine, that we need to repair. The asphalt crew, we're working on the Wymore West to Liberty Blacktop. That's one of the ones that need an overlay pretty bad. There's quite a few stretches in there that we're putting an inch of overlay on it, trying to save it. So, and other than that, we had...
Marlon, quick question. I was here in that section. A couple of folks from Lanham ran across them the other day. They wondered if that was all that they were getting, or is there plans to... overlay more of that road or what?
For now, that was all because that was the worst spot.
Now, that's it.
Yeah, I think a year ago, I was proposing overlaying the whole thing with a couple inches, but so far we haven't decided we had enough money to do that.
One time we talked about if asphalt was available from the Wymore plant, that would make sense. But at this point, that's it. Okay, that's all I need to know.
And then,
Byers?
No, I'll let him go ahead, and then I have a question.
Okay.
They are getting ready to move that plant in down by Wymore, so they're doing the prep work on the site.
Yeah.
And so.
Okay. Done with your report then?
Other than that was the motor grader bids. We requested bids on motor graders. It didn't get on agenda, so that was supposed to end at 9:00 this morning.
How does the board wish to handle that? It was advertised to be in, and we know it's a special circumstance. We've been all through that. Apparently, Dawn, you're on vacation.
Yeah, it was checked off whether it had been on and got removed. I don't know, but it didn't get on. So
the mistake, as far as the agenda, apparently is the clerk's office, and Dawn's willing to accept that, so we can't ding Marlon with that one, darn it. But it's not... It is not on the agenda to accept the bid. So my assumption is we really probably can't do anything with it, can we?
Can't hardly say it's an emergency item.
It's not.
So
do it next time.
The problem is you can't accept any more bids.
I mean, the deadline is here, so can we just let it set for 2 weeks and then take it up? I mean, that puts Cat in a two-week dinger, but... That seems to be the only bid we've accepted.
That's
but in my thinking, it should lay there for 2 weeks. We get it on the agenda, and then we open it in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Is that?
Yep.
We're getting almost universal head nods here.
Is that?
I feel like I'm having a strange day here.
We have it on already. As we speak, it's on.
All right.
Okay. It's just an oversight. You understand that? We apologize, certainly.
These are items, you know, whether it's me or... or on anybody, is you need to check the clerk's office by 8:00 the day to make sure things that you're involved with are on there. Because I checked with Dawn, 8:01 yesterday, to make sure the three items that we were involved with our committee was on the agenda. So I think you need to make a final check with her to make sure what you want on the agenda is on the agenda.
Good advice.
You know, instead of waiting at the meeting and say, oops, I read the agenda, it's not on there.
Okay, so we'll ding him a little bit, all right?
Ding him a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. All right, well...
I don't know if my question is for Marlon or for Mark relative to the FEMA money. You know, they announced they were giving us money for our townships in February, and nobody's received money yet, and I want to know where that is. Mark, is that going to be part of your report or Marlon? Rockford jumped me yesterday relative to their money. And
I talked to Paul DeLage, their crew leader for the FEMA yesterday. Another issue,
Mark, would you please come forward and if you're going to elaborate at all?
He's got a report coming up.
Yeah.
We could wait until he's on the agenda, too. I'm sorry.
Unless Marlon had any more, but I asked Paul, and the money's at the state.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
But there was another issue at Liberty Township yesterday. Had some issues with the FEMA rep that was there. So we got that taken care of. In the meantime, he also asked where their money was at and is at the state level. So I've called NEMA, Nebraska Emergency Management, and it's like, well, check's in the mail. So I encourage, again, I probably will contact babe, she's sitting here, so if Senator Wallman could check into that for us and get back to us, because there doesn't seem to be any
restoration is building.
Yeah, it is.
Glenwood.
And nothing comes to us as the locals. I mean, it's these last three disasters, if I don't contact them, they don't contact me. So I've been forcing myself to go even out to the motel and where they're all staying and wait in the lobby for them one time.
Well, then I'll communicate with Senator Womack's legislative aide relative to this issue, and certainly we can get some action.
Young lady who was here 2 weeks ago from FEMA, would that not be an appropriate person to give a phone? No, that's
well,
not.
Well, she's with FEMA, and like she said, and Paul said, the money's at the state level.
Right.
The feds have given the state the money.
That was the question we asked her last. Yes, it's there, but I guess, I don't know if that's a name, to not to be dropping names, but at least it.
But she said 6 weeks.
And I signed a work orders for November, the project sheets for the November electrical storm. Then once you sign them, there's a so many days appeal process. You can appeal that if you don't agree. So, you know, it all figures into the money. And everything with FEMA is date-driven also. And some of the townships are finding out they requested rock before that date. And the date of the storm from March 3rd on is the key dates they look at. If it's before that, then it's just when you got tickets with dates on it and they don't fit in that time frame,
well,
they don't pay them.
The reason for that is you've already made a decision that you needed that rock, and the storm wasn't as a result of that decision. So
and
that's
it's quite a process. And I know some of these guys, I even have trouble understanding it all at times, but, you know, it is date-driven. If you have tickets, if you have pictures, that helps. If you just say, well, we had damage in that storm and you can't prove it now, you ain't getting any money. So
one of the other things is, too, is the state's requiring this time on this 1902 we're on now, going back 3 years of records. So these townships are having to pull back 3 years of records of what was spent and what hours they worked as a grader operator then compared to. So they're making them give them a three-year average, and that's not FEMA doing that, that's the state. So we know that that's taking a lot of time, and for the townships, so that was the complaint yesterday. I'm going to have to go back 3 years and get an average. So that's been difficult for the townships to deal with that. But Paul told me yesterday they're going to make it as simple as they can. He encouraged me that he's aware of the situation, and he will work with the townships.
Okay, moving on.
Thank you.
Anything else, Marlon?
I think that's all I had.
All right. Millard Gustafson, Sheriff's Report. Up next.
Thank you. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yep, thank you.
Oh. Amber Mulberry, Gage County Detention. Begin with quarterly reports for second quarter 2010. 158 males booked into jail. 46 females, 82.
If I speak up a little bit, just more with us hearing aids.
Okay. 82 felony charges, 225 misdemeanors, 67 others. Inmate medical expense, $11,805.44. Income from housing outside prisoners, $1,150. Income for fingerprints, $545. Income from inmate phone usage, $1,335.39. Commissary commission income, $4,808.91. Spent outside prisoner holding, $7,602.88. Housing, we touched on that before. The total lodge was 204. Sheriff's Office arrest, 121. Beatrice Police Department, 74. Wymore Police, 2. Nebraska State Patrol, 7. And there were 37 alcohol-related arrests. Medical expense, we said that earlier, $11,805.44. Of that, $8,335.43 was for general care. And emergency medical is $3,407.01. zero funds spent on vision and dental.
Interesting. It pretty well parallels second quarter 2009, you know, as far as little ups and downs, but things are pretty close.
Population stays down. It helps us a lot all across the board.
Maybe I missed, maybe I was looking at something when you're explaining. What's the difference between back in second quarter you showed one Nebraska State Patrol and you have seven this quarter? What is that?
Arrest.
Huh?
Arrest.
Okay.
Brought to the facility.
Excuse me, Gary.
Amber, on this outside prisoner holding, it shows 7,600. I watched the number of people that we have in our jail. How did we have that spent? Was that for a lot of these special, I guess the right word would be mental holds that we've had to do. Is that what the majority, about has to be because our population of jails been so low?
Right. There was definitely one individual during the second quarter was housed at the Department of Corrections for medical.
That's part of this?
Correct.
It could be one or two people caused this big of a
Correct.
Bill. That people that we cannot hold here due to their mental condition.
Or medical.
Medical, okay.
And that was medical in this case.
Thank you.
But I see on that number we're down about 70% of where we were in the same quarter a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Help out the budget.
Yeah, classification space for females and so on, are we dealing with that generally okay?
Yes, right now we've been okay thus far.
Is this a place to talk about the building itself and physical updates or needs or progress on compliance?
We can. I was going to mention the plumber was given authorization here a couple weeks ago to start the projects on the sewer, which is the issue for us right now. There are three projects. One, he's still trying to figure out how to do it and what it's going to cost. So I can get an estimate to the board. But they're going to have to trench in, I think, from the back alley in under the building. We have the main Lankman there has got some problems. Then they're going to have to jackhammer out the main hall for several feet, about half the distance. The line is, I don't know if ruptured, but it's sagged down, and so we can't get a flow of sewage through there. So he'll be doing that, replacing that section as well. So that's supposed to start any time, depending on his schedule. Estimates, I think Mark was working on one. We had a deal maybe on a used generator. He was still checking on that. I had a couple over yesterday, I think, was getting some estimates. I think it was last week or this week. We were doing some painting and the back. The wood was getting bad. And they both indicate, they'll give estimates, but they said our problem's the roof. We've known that because we've got some pans under the rafter trying to catch. But what it's doing is leaking in and coming down and rotting all the wood on the side of the brick. So
and the soffit.
So
around the whole top is rotted, yeah. Basically.
So they said we can cover it, but it's really just covering. It's cosmetic.
Windows with cold weather coming. What's the progress on the north windows?
We've got one estimate, I think, of it, and that is so specific that I don't know if we can get a second. That had to be a company here local. I mean, in the state anyway. That might be the one we have to settle for, and I can't remember right off what that even was.
Well, I would say progress with all due dispatch on that, because it's going to be cold before you know it. You don't want to be dealing with.
What's the difference between? I mean, is it the window size or just what you have to have because it's a jail?
Jail. It's got to be coated just right, designed just right, and so
have
just
we advertised out a lot for it.
Well, I've actually been trying to find people who've had jail standards helping us try to contact. So most of them are out of state. We had local contractors, but they didn't really want to tackle.
Yeah, we had, I think, two or three local contractors come in, and they said.
It's kind of beyond there, because they have to custom design it to fit right into that. And it's kind of tough.
I probably should have been interjecting as we've gone along today, but I think it's important to recognize that in Finance Committee, there will be, having not been there before, $130,000 that will be budgeted in building and grounds specifically for jail updates, things that we have to do to meet code, these types of things that will be out of there. So we'll be able to track that, too, as a line item, so it won't just come out of the umbrella of building and grounds. It's actually a line item, so over a period of time, we can track what the expense is. So that's part of the increase in the budget, is $10,000 has historically not been there specifically for the jail.
But that's a one-time expenditure.
Until the next thing comes up, yeah.
Well, I mean, for this
we're budgeting
year,
that amount, thinking, because I think we saw that report. There were six or eight different things, and we're going to try and chip away at some of the recommendations from the fire marshal that come out of the committee. So we've, you know, it's, some of it's spitballing. You put a number out there, and you hope you got the expenditures right. Not that we're looking to spend the entire amount, but, you know, just like we got into this place, you start digging behind walls and floors, and you find stuff. So,
beyond the needed items that we've kind of listed out that need improvement, there's, like, the everyday stuff of that occurs as well. So,
I think the point Gary was making, this 130 is for, like, one time, like doors, windows.
We'll take care of a bunch of the things that were specified.
Yeah, it's not a monthly type.
That would be the annual budget, and then next year we'll see where we're at. We may throw another 100 or so or 50 or, you know, just,
whatever.
Like the stop.
Consensus is just get right after what needs fixed and...
That soffit, could you put some metal or something on it instead?
He could. They're gonna bid that, but neither one of them really felt comfortable doing that. I could have said, still have a leak in the roof.
Oh.
And that's what's causing it. Comes down, and it's, Dave will attest to you that he just can't, it's that tile, and it's just hard to find where that's leaking at.
It's leaking.
And it's been quite a while because it's really rotted out, the backside especially. So,
is that in the house? It's all in the house.
Yeah, the house.
It's not in the jail.
No.
It's that jail.
No, house. Up top. So.
Okay. Anything else for Amber? Any other questions? Thank you, Amber. Sheriff?
All right. We're going to touch a little bit on the quarterly reports, second quarter here of 2010, Sheriff's Office. Just briefly before I hit that, though, I don't know if the board got the task report. It's the Target Adult Service Coordination. We use out of Lincoln. It started a few years back, and we can use them in lieu of having EPCs go to the crisis center. Sometimes they intervene and find other alternatives. Last year, we had 17 of them that they were able to do that for. And instead of going to EPCs, which save the county money, they can go either a 3 or 5 day stay. And so they figured a low savings was $25,500, and a high savings would have been around $42,500. So that saves a little bit. It's one more alternative. If they don't fit criteria for the EPC and crisis center, they can go elsewhere, and that saved us a little money there as well. So just for the board's information. Okay, calls for service for second quarter 2010 was 1,643, and we compare that to the second quarter 2009, which was 1,593. We had 86 accidents and had 104 last year in that quarter. 86 citations compared to 71. We had 358 warnings compared to 118, 138 arrests compared to 75. We had 197 legal papers served compared to 362 last time. 82 arrest warrants were served compared to 94 last quarter, or the second quarter of 09. We had $4,196.09 compared to $2,922.83 for fees earned from those civil process. On mileage and fees earned, we were $2,030.90 compared to $3,316.32. We got $66 for copies on made in the office, and we had $50 last time. Distress warrants, neither one collected that quarter. Partial payments, same, zeroed out. Title inspection fees, we earned $3,180 compared to $3,410. Gallons utilized for patrol work was 5,171 compared to 4,860. And miles driven, 54,270 compared to 58,966. And those patrol miles only count actual patrol vehicles, not administrative vehicles. Okay, transports, we did 2,808 miles. We did 6,500 the same time last year. We had no grant reimbursements at this time. We had one K-9 deployment compared to five in 09. We have no arrests at this time on K-9s, and we had one in the second quarter of 09. No drugs found with a K-9 this time around. We did have some marijuana last quarter there. We had one meth lab compared to two. Four drug violation arrests compared to 18. We had the reserves that gave us 4,590 miles compared to 1,770. The hours that gave us 498 hours compared to 308. We had 1,045 billing checks compared to 700. And we had 11 open doors, and we had 7 in the same time, same period last year.
Questions, comments? Any further comments?
Like the meth lab. That only is outside city limits.
These are ours. That won't count for us.
That don't count. If it's in Beatrice.
It's in Beatrice. We count just in our jurisdiction. Okay. Even though we might help on these in the town, we count ours only.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thank you very much, Gus. Mark. The Mark Mines Activity Report, Emergency Management.
Okay. You should have a copy of my report put in the bin, and the calendar is attached, so you can look through that as some of my activity. I just want to hit on a couple things here. This past month, we received our Emergency Management Performance Grant Award. That is the EMPG money that helps subsidize my budget for 2010-2011. The requirements of that is that you have a full-time emergency management director, and that you have a current local emergency operations plan, and that the quarterly reports are done in a timely manner and handed into the state. Based upon those reports, they look at a performance, and this year's grant award was $51,000. So that'll be $51,000 towards my budget this year. The next two items I think are agenda items, and that is the severe weather plan. This is something to keep storm ready certified. We do have to have a hazardous weather operations plan. It was somewhat updated to get our certification done, but I went through and did a complete rewrite this time, and that needs to be approved and signed by the chairman of the board. I don't know if we want to take action now on that or an agenda. Or...
Sure can.
Okay.
We have a copy of it. The clerk has.
I have not received any of this.
There's a copy.
And we met on the Emergency Management Committee and has reviewed the plan.
Does the committee recommend?
I think we had any questions.
As well as the county attorney's office also has reviewed the plan.
It has been reviewed by the committee and the attorney's office, and we do have the document here to place on file. Is there a motion to approve the weather plan?
Yes.
Okay, second. Moved by Barnard.
Second.
Second by Bauman. Discussion? Please vote. 6-0 in favor.
The next plan, I just want to have approved, this is the debris management plan. That's required by FEMA. Now, if we want to get money back for cleaning up debris after a storm, that we have to have a plan. It's pretty basic. We went to a class, and I basically took the parts from that class and added to it a little bit. And so we do have a plan. Again, the committee has reviewed, and the attorney's office has read this plan and approved it also. That's also an agenda item to be approved. It doesn't need to be signed. It just formality to be approved.
Again, the committee has reviewed it.
And the only question I had is that the involvement with Marlon, because it did have to do with debris, and they've worked together on this, so he's aware of it. So.
And we're going to do a little bit of training on once the plan is completed. We'll have a little small exercise just to go over the plan with all the key people and officials that are in the plan. So.
Okay, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Second. We're going to give Gronewald one here. Any discussion? Please vote. 6-0.
Through the SEMERS group, the Southeast Medical Response System group, they all gave each county emergency operations center a device called an e-beam. That's about $800 device that attaches to a whiteboard on the wall, so that if we have a couple different operations set up in the county, or the state wants to see something from our emergency operations center, we can transmit that through the internet. What we're actually doing on the wall, we can show them maps if we're drawing lines on maps where our debris is, that type of thing. So that is in place. Once we get back in the OC, it'll be installed. We are working with Public Health Solutions on a special needs registry. What this is that it'll be a database that is built that will say if someone has special needs in a community somewhere, that during a disaster or evacuation, let's say, they can't get out of their house, we need to go help them, it'll come up. We can check the area that needs to be evacuated. We'll go to that person that needs the special needs, and that's quite a neat thing. There's actually two of those actually going on. I'm working more with our local public health solutions on that, and I think that's going to be a great project. So I just want to touch on working with Beatrice Community Hospital on some evacuation exercises, and we're also starting on the plans for the new hospital. We'll be setting up some meetings and things. I won't physically be writing the plan. Mark Jobman, who's emergency preparedness coordinator at the hospital, will be physically writing the plans. I'll be participating in some of the evaluations and the vulnerability things. It's kind of nice. I just, real brief, I want to just thank the Beatrice Hospital, and I guess it was nice to see after 9 years of working with them, having exercises and planning and training, that we did have to decontaminate and bring medical patients in the hospital the other day. It went really smooth. We've had two after-action reports, one with the hospital side, one with the law enforcement side, and again, the hospital did an excellent job, and it just shows that training and practicing and plans do pay off. So we're also the recipient now. This has been about a two-year project through SEND grant. We wrote for the award for warning sirens. We still have four sirens in the county that are not DC powered. Everything else has been replaced. Two of those sirens are in Wymore, and the other one's in Filling, Virginia. The two sirens in Wymore are newer. The two sirens in Filling, Virginia are older models, so we're looking to replace them. And SEND did award us a $30,000 approximately. It's a 75-25 match. The sirens are going to be about $40,000. SEND will pay up to will pay us the $30,000. We'll be responsible for about $10,000 or 25%. And I imagine that price is going to come down a little more because SEND's going to bid them those out. And it's 16 counties where the sirens. I don't know for sure. I'd have to say there's at least 40 or 50 sirens, so hopefully that will bring that price down. So our $10,000 might not be that $10,000, probably less than that. But it is, they do need to be replaced, and so it's good to see we are getting some more grant money. We've been pretty fortunate on grant money to replace those sirens the last 10 years. So.
Did I catch it right? There are two left in Wymore that
yes.
aren't battery backed up,
right.
but they are of a newer model,
yes.
and that's kind of why this decision
right.
was made.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, we want to work on getting those replaced, and then every community will have battery back or battery powered. They're AC-DC, what they run when they activate the sirens. They're DC powered, AC charges them back up, so they'll run 3 7-minute blasts, so they'll run 21 minutes on the batteries, and so it's a good thing to have that, because normally when the storm hits, a lot of time power goes out. So, and then the last thing I just want to touch on. Working with Public Health Solutions again, they received grants, and I applied for some AEDs, automatic defibrillators, external defibrillators, through Public Health Solutions. Barnston Fire is going to receive one for Liberty, because that's one of the communities in the county that we do not have a AED is in Liberty. So we're going to get one for Barnston Fire that's going to be placed in Liberty. They have one in Barnston, but we're going to place one in Liberty. So. We'll work with them on that.
That'd be helpful. And somebody eats too much shrimp.
Yeah. There you go. And the tornado shelter in Cortland, where that is, a tornado shelter and a community building. We're going to place one there. We're working with Dave Niemeyer, the fire chief there, to place that in the tornado shelter. And then they've offered us up to three. And if another department doesn't want, we might get an extra one. But for sure, we will receive three AEDs for the sheriff's department. I've talked to the sheriff, and he's going to look at the patrol units that are out the most, as well. We'll place them in those cars that are most active and moving around the most. So there'll be five more AEDs in the county, and I will work on a list of where there is, if you're interested in that. Actually, we have a list from we did a survey with Public Health Solutions, tells us who all has them and where they're all out in the county. With placing the one in Liberty, pretty much. We have, one in every community then, at least one. If it's, a lot of them are tied to the fire departments or rescue squads, but or law enforcement, such as in Wymore. And so we do have quite a few in the county.
The one here in the building back in operation?
Yes.
Or, I mean,
it's never been.
It's never
except
been
for
down.
Stuff stacked in front of it. But
I just assumed through remodeling it was down. But.
And then the one we have placed one, and I don't know if, it's up on the wall yet or not, but I bought a cabinet and we placed the one in the county highway shop. The one that was in my vehicle went down there.
Have highway employees and courthouse employees been instructed on how to use it?
We have training on, they have been in past training, and our new training for the highway department right now is coming up on the 3rd and the 20th of September. And then in between that time, we're going to work in the county to get all the county employees certified for CPR, first aid, and AED. So. And just a quick note, too, if you haven't been down around Big Indian lately, it's not totally open, but they've got a lot of work going on down there, and it's kind of neat to see. It's a big project going on. There's a meeting out there Thursday night. You can go over through the committee's going to go through the whole project and see where they're at. So a lot of work was done in the last couple months down there, so it's kind of neat to see.
Would you encourage the dirt get backfilled around that new helipad?
Yeah.
Looks like an ankle buster.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to get that all completed. So that's one of the things I'm going to bring up Thursday night to the contractor. So.
Any questions for Mark? Anyone? Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Need a motion to put it on file.
Sure. Moved by Fleece. Second by Barnard. Put the report on file. Vote. 6-0. Okay. Anybody ready for a break or just go, go, go? We'll go another 15. We may get done. Who knows? Discuss and approve or disapprove updated federal emergency job description, management job description.
Emergency management job description. Worked on this a couple months ago, and I believe it was last meeting. This was in everyone's packet. We discussed it at emergency management a couple weeks ago. Just need to move forward. The employee's aware, Mark, that this is the job description, and so we just need to move forward. Remember, he's not a contract employee, and I don't believe he has been since 6. Is that right, Dawn?
What's that?
Yes, this position has not been a contract employee since 06, something like that. So it's, you know, there's some...
Could you just highlight the changes for the press as well as the rest of us who haven't been involved with it?
Hasn't been a whole lot of changes. A lot of this goes through and is consistent with what NEMA recommends. As Mark went through and looked at it, I got no feedback from him. Outlines what the position is through the state of Nebraska. Used actually the old job description to kind of help build this, kind of goes through and helps to hopefully clarify some misconceptions of what the role of emergency management director is in Gage County. It's not a EMS provider, you know, because of Mark's training. If he would happen on an accident, you know, Good Samaritan law, by all means, you know, do what you need to there, but not to actively go out and be an active role as emergency manager unless it's a mass casualty, if it's a you know, we know the storm, the debris management. There's some of those. It's really a material and resource allocation and a supportive role with training. A lot of the things, you know, like in this report that he just gave, there's a lot of administrative, putting things certain places, making sure people have resources. So it's more of a management administrative role and less of a hands-on role. So as we've gone through, we've tried to make that consistent. It also, again, puts in here assists with planning and zoning as other duties, Homeland Security Director, Safety Officer. So I think we tried to go through and make things that were consistent with what that job title and role. And, of course, there's always the other duties as assigned that can come up that we could ask any employee to do. But we're really trying to make sure that the employee as well as the public has an appropriate expectation of what that position is supposed to be. And I think just that the sheer name of emergency management, you know, that's a very broad term. So, you know, it becomes a semantics game. It's not in charge of all emergency services in Gage County. It's emergency management that have to do with material, training, resources, those types of things. So that's what we tried to define out in here. And then, you know, there's obviously qualifications, and then just the additional duties we had spoken to before about limiting the use of resources to work time and things like that, and just general employee guidelines to make sure that we're managing people appropriately. And that's the nuts and bolts of it. So
okay, that's the background. Is there a motion?
These are working documents. You know, I think it's important. We can change these at any time, and I think it's important that we make the employee aware if we do change these, and I think we've done a good job of that. So they're not set in stone, so to speak. They're working documents.
Before we have any further discussion, then, is there a motion to approve the Barnard has moved to approve the updated emergency management job description as presented in written form. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Bauman. Discussion?
Looks pretty thorough and pretty much to the point. Gives the individual, whoever's in that position, a pretty good idea of what he's got to do. So,
Gary.
Yeah, and Matt touched on a little bit, but I think it's important for and I know the board members here know it, I think it's important that different entities and services and rescue squads and things understand and have a definition that this position doesn't control all those. I think that may have been an underlying thing sometimes for some, but we have to make sure that those people know that our emergency management director does not control all those kinds of things, and it's a closer definition, and we've honed it down, or Matt has done a good job of honing it down to what it's really supposed to be, not what it had become in the past. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments?
Probably some merit in sending this out to those other so that they know, too, to clarify, so it may do that, too.
Well, we all know Mark is a real activist and a kind of a consummate volunteer, and sometimes I guess needs to be reminded that the overall management, I think you lined that out as you were describing it, but that the management function is really where he needs to focus and generally does a great job at that, in my opinion. So, any other discussion? Please vote. 6-0. All right, let's do the hazardous waste thing, shall we?
Mr. Chairman, that'd be me.
Yep. Okay.
At any rate, we didn't move along quick enough, I guess. Syracuse is going to have it headquartered over there this year, so I don't think there's any reason to approve or disapprove anything.
So the timing and all that?
Timing didn't work out very good, and they wanted to move it along, so they did, and that's—I think that's where it's going. Don't hold me to that, but
a lot of that's paint and stuff.
Yeah, and I think the last one, the way it's, from what Shirley has reported to us in the past, a lot was collected then, and some of the stuff that was more hazardous that people collected years before has been disposed of, and actually our city landfill, I believe, takes in some things that people wouldn't realize they take because they do use liners and things like that. So
that new building for...
That's kind of what that's all about. If you drove by and seen it, don't look very big for 100-some thousand bucks, but it is what it is.
It looked like they could have elevated about a foot, too. It's like it's sitting in a hole. But, yeah.
But I believe those are poured concrete walls.
They are.
So it's... Storm shelter.
It's about like having a...
Okay, so basically on household hazardous waste, just be no action. Okay. With that, we get 7:07. I'm going to call a recess here and take a short...
If we don't talk too much.
Call the meeting back to order at 10:03. Attendance by observation. I think we got enough to go. Next item is approve or disapprove a change order number 26 for $531 for adding power to data room in room 18. I think Wim stepped out of the room, so Ron, you're it.
We're going to... He wants that to be withdrawn.
He wants that to be withdrawn?
Yeah, because he had a conversation with the attorney's office about maybe some different changes in the entrance to that room.
Okay, so that can be delayed.
They want to take a look at that. So.
Okay, no action on that item.
No action.
Next is approve or disapprove accepting the low bid from Cheever's Construction for the ground floor window project. Ron?
Yeah, I've asked Wim to just... not update us, but just kind of go over again the bids for the project in our discussion that we had at our committee as to what we might want to do with some extra funds. So,
okay, Wim.
Wim Kirsten with Bergman Architects. We had three bids on this project. Western Waterproofing out of Omaha was at $88,788 with a 90-day construction phase and a 15% change order markup. Masonry Construction out of Bellevue, Nebraska was $73,313 with a 90-day construction window and a 15% change order markup. And Cheever Construction was $53,600 with a 45-day construction window and a 9% change order markup. That's just a summary of the three bids that we had. I think it's fairly obvious where the direction we went ahead.
I would at this point approve accepting a low bid from Cheever's Construction for the ground floor window project in the amount of $53,600.
Yeah. Correct.
Second.
Second. Move by Flea, second by Bauman. Discussion. Gary?
Wim, just so I'm clear on it, the low bid was so much less than the next bid, quite a bit less. It's the exact same windows as specified for everybody.
Everybody.
So nobody that bid it can complain about any of it?
No.
Okay, that's it.
Okay, any other discussion? Please vote.
Uh-oh, there she went.
That light's still on.
Somewhere, I don't know what wire it's in.
Oh.
Do you know which one
he's? Do you have Davey's magic wand?
Well, that blue, somebody could at least put a pair of pliers on that one.
There it went.
Yep. Well,
that's where it's at.
Just 6-0.
In addition to that, the grant for the window, the grant for the window project was $98,000, and there'll be some architect fees coming out of there.
Otherwise, I think it.
We discussed this in our committee meeting about whether or not we have enough money and to go around and do some more on this side. I've got a call in, and I tell you, I'm not sure if I ever get the right person in the energy department to which we got the grant to see what we would have to do in order to use the rest of that money
to do
for 40-some thousand dollars basically, and whether we'd have to go ahead and bid another project to do that or whatever. So we're kind of on a time restraint with the energy department to get that money spent. I get an email from these people about every week and a half as to what we're doing, and I guess that's part of the jobs created with the stimulus money. But anyway, they bother me enough and on this part. So hopefully I'll get somebody in the next day or two, Wim, as to what our process might be.
Okay.
These people all are out of Las Vegas for some reason. I was surprised that's where they're located. But I didn't think the administration liked Las Vegas. But
apparently they do.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
So it'd be fair to say that if the Fed say they'd give us an extension to use the rest of that $98,000, we could package that with some emergency management money for his windows and maybe get the majority, if not all, of the north side done right, you know, this fall or something. Which
would be the complete building then, done with the windows.
Yeah,
while we're all making a mess, it'd be good to finish that up if we can.
And if I could, I went ahead and checked with our Pella representative to find out what our costs would be to include the north windows either in this project or in another bid project, and to finish the north side would be about $24,000.
Was that also involving hurricane type windows?
That's correct.
Yeah,
that's the strengthened windows and all of that. And that $24,000 is the windows, the installation cost, and the interior finish of the window. So in other words, it'd either be painted or stained. So that those numbers are all included in that now. That's coming from Pella Factory, and so there'd still be some cost for whoever we hired to put those. Actually, well, the installation cost is added in there as an estimate from Pella. So I guess what I'm getting at is we have the funding still available with this grant, it would seem, to finish the window replacement in this building to its entirety.
But that would be let out as a separate, very distinct, separate contract. So
right.
Everybody, it wouldn't be just a change order. That's what I think our committee was thinking, at least. That'd be cleaner that way. Yeah. And what are you estimating for a door entrance? That was part of the idea. As long as we're screwing around the north side, do we get that elevator door, secure door, whatever you call it?
Entrance.
North entrance.
Yeah.
I do not recall exactly that number.
I don't think
it's a big ballpark.
You had some. Remember, we had some initial cost of what it might be to do that. Which
right,
or at least
that included the cost of putting the ramp in out here so that we got down to the right elevation and all of that. And if memory serves correctly, it was in the 20 $18,000 to $20,000 range to put that entrance in. And there was a there's a price difference as to whether we try to save the stair that's on the north side or whether we take the stair off and just incorporate the doorway. So there's a little bit of variance there that I don't remember those exact numbers right now. But
on the stair, you're talking about that double step that goes up a half flight.
Mm-hmm.
So every board member should go out, take a look at it, and get an opinion developed as to whether that should go or stay. And
it would be more similar to what we have on the east side, basically.
Correct, yeah. The stair would stay in place, and we'd put something underneath it, like on the east side. Or because of the deteriorated state of the stair, we'd also consider just taking that off if there was some future work on the north side that we were going to approach in the future and not want to invest money in bringing that stair back to a state where it supports itself.
The long-term suggestion was some sort of a sally port or a covered entrance or a place for a vehicle type.
Mm-hmm. For transporting.
That's just on the wish list at this point. But.
Right, exactly. But it's something to think about. I mean, if the stair needs $5,000, $10,000 put into it in order to keep it from just falling apart at this point, then the question needs to be asked or at least thought about, even if that's on the wish list for the 10, 15, 20 year, is it worth restoring that stair for that period of time, or do we just eliminate it at this point if that's something we're going to do down the road?
Where do the historical folks enter into all that? What point can you alter?
I got the hysterical historical.
Well, and because it's not, I think there's an argument that can be made because that stair was at one point in time a entrance or an exit to the building, and I don't think anyone foresees that ever happening again. That there's actually a use for that stair to be on the building, and because of its deteriorated condition, why I think that the Historical Society would probably grant us some lenience in its removal if we planned on construction on the north lawn here in the future. It would still maintain the integrity of the courthouse from the other three sides. So I don't know that there'd be any large objections to the removal of that stair.
It could be done in your estimation. I just suggest everybody look at it, go up close, touch it, feel it, look at how much kind of fiberglass stuff's already there, but yet it's part of that. I mean, everybody has to develop their own ideas. So anything else for him or on either of you?
I don't believe so.
No, I got some things there I want to talk about with the Building Grounds Committee, but that's
loaded, didn't we?
No. Well, yes, on the
Achievers thing.
Bid. So. You did, yes.
So I think that's. Is there any other?
On the historic lighting project, what were we talking about? The 7 to 8 lights? I forgot.
Right now, we indicate 10 lights.
10?
Yes.
Yeah, I couldn't remember.
What did you find out after the meeting the other day? Did you stop out at?
I did, and he was not in the office. I tried yesterday, and I didn't. We were playing phone tag all day yesterday. I'm going to attempt to contact him before I leave today.
Please tell us what we're talking about.
There's been a request to put historic-looking light fixtures similar to the ones or maybe exactly like the ones that are downtown right now on the east side of the courthouse where we have the public parking sidewalk, et cetera, for safety lighting. And it's become more of a talking point right now because winter's coming and it's going to start getting dark at 4:30. And so we are at this point asking for some quotes on getting at least the conduiting in place so that it's down in the ground for these lights before we go and reseed and redo the lawn work. And so at the next building committee meeting, I'll have quotes for that. We've looked at a couple of different light fixtures ranging from $1,000 a fixture to $7,000 a fixture. And so there's a huge range of who you buy these from and how much they cost. It was suggested that I go down and talk to Pat at BTW and find out exactly what those fixtures are that they have downtown, who they purchased them from, what kind of luck they're having with them, if they love them, if they hate them, what kind of actual light bulb that they use, because there's about 12 different varieties of that. And so that's what I'm attempting to do here at this point, is get this wrapped up so I can present some kind of an idea to the building committee here in 2 weeks.
We did want these lights to provide some sort of security for people, so they'd be bright enough, not just historically and look nice, but we want them to just, for rather than looking nice, we want them to have a purpose of for the employees too.
Mm-hmm.
This was brought up a long time ago, wasn't it, Ron?
Yeah.
When we started the project.
And at this point, there are, six or eight along the east sidewalk, and then a couple right up near the building as the east entrance comes in. I think a lot of us would like to see them at some point around the whole perimeter, but we kind of want to take it maybe a step at a time, but at
right,
least get what we can in prior to the lawn going in. We're really hopeful that three weeks, I'm saying the lawn ought to be seeded, but within that period of time.
Yep.
Got to mow in the dirt again.
That's all I have, I guess.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Wim. Anything else, building grounds?
Did we vote on that previous motion, or just
yes,
vote to?
Yes, she said we did.
Okay.
So the voted on the Cheever.
Yes, to accept it.
On the Cheever, 6-0,
okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm, 6-0.
While we're doing building and grounds, Ron, could we talk about that Wymore building while the sheriff is here?
The sheriff met with the committee Monday about some of the problems we're having at the Wymore evidence storage shed down there, and they've got poor ventilation. There's no electricity into the building. It's got rock on the floor. We got poor drainage away from the building, and just got some issues. And so we've asked Gus to go ahead and get some quotes to install, see what it would cost to install gutters and downspouts to keep water away from this building, to also find out about installing some vents in the building so we have some airflow through the building so it doesn't be so damp and create problems, and also look at installing some electricity into the building, that working with the highway department, they could probably do the trenching for an underground conduit to be placed in there to bring electricity into the building. So at least try to get those three things done, I think, to try to make it a lot better building for what it's being used for at the present time.
Apparently right now there's large aggregate on the floor. We're thinking a real fine aggregate versus concrete, at least try, see if that works, and then getting the water drainage away. So
I went down yesterday and looked at it since it got built there, and they do have the smaller chad on the inside packed down now.
Okay.
It's the really large ones on the outside, and I think what they did, they used pretty near entirely rock for the base, and there's no dirt. And so they built the building and filled the rock in. Of course, you got rock higher in the building, and it's kind of like a funnel. So
like getting it so it drains away from the building.
Yeah.
Gary?
Is the rock right against the metal?
Pretty close, yeah.
That was all supposed to have been supervised by the highway department. I thought they need to go down there and get that fixed right away. That'll just rust that out quickly. You can't. Right. I can't believe they didn't see that when they put it in there.
Have you visited with Marlon since Monday?
I did. I was going to tell you, I talked to him yesterday and told him that we'd talked, and you'd said you'd probably be back to him later sometime too. But
yeah,
I told him they could at least, we're looking at maybe if we get some rock out, put dirt down, and then bring rock back over it, you know, get a little slope away from the building. So he's aware that that's something we're looking at. So.
Well, we need to get some gutters and downspouts so we don't have all that water coming off the, what is it, 80 foot?
No, I think it's 40 by 60, I believe.
60? Well,
that's
so
what it was.
60 feet of water coming straight down right next to the building. There's no downspouts or anything in there.
And on the south side, we're looking, because if we put guttering there, then that's a whole row of trees that are not on the county's property. I don't know if we're going to have issues with all the Lee's coming in there. If it's better, just leave that side alone. I don't
know. Leaf guard across. They make a leaf guard and put it across. Not like the wire stuff. They actually have one that's solid with slots so nothing plugs it.
Works real well. Yeah.
You're thinking non-powered vents, though, aren't you?
Anything. I don't care as long as it works.
So it gets natural flow. If it just, I bet that'd be. I don't think we need powered vents.
I don't either.
No. If we just get the. Because you can tell it's just stagnant
stale.
In there.
It's just stale inside. Just.
So,
Okay, that covered what you need?
That needed. Thanks.
Thank you, Sheriff. Let's go back and discuss the 2010 and 11 FY budget, Matt, and Finance Committee.
Preliminary information here. Finance Committee's met several times, and I'll tell you what, Ron, I have a newfound appreciation for your role as Finance Chairman over the last several years. Probably one that I may not have had in the past. So,
just go all the way around.
That's why my thing has always got that bright light.
So bright. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, stepping through this, and Dawn's been a real help too. So I have to stress, these are preliminary. Two sheets I'm sending around. One is the preliminary agency allocations. All the way on the right-hand side, you'll see board proposed.
Okay, thank you.
Across the top, you'll see, if you go third column from the right, that's what the agencies received last fiscal year. So what we as a finance committee did, we sat down and said, okay, let's try and keep everyone the same. And I go back to the conversation we had earlier in equalization. Don, did we not send out letters requesting...
Hey, just a heads up. We're not going to jump back and forth between the meetings, but Patty did say we have to make the decision today.
Okay.
So this is a very important discussion.
We did send letters out initially requesting... department heads, elected officials, and agencies to not increase their budget? Did we not? So there was notification to do that, to try and keep everything the same. So that being said, these are preliminary, and the reason I send these out ahead of time is because I think the finance, well, I know the finance committee wants feedback. I think, you know, we don't want anyone 3 or 4 months, well, it wouldn't be 3 or 4 months, but folks down the road saying, well, I didn't know that was in there. I didn't know that was in there. We want to have that discussion so people are comfortable and give feedback. Okay? So you'll see that there's some reductions there. A lot of them stay the same, and there's a few cuts. I don't believe this year we are going to accept any new agencies, so you'll see no acceptance there. Last year, there was about $513,000 given to agencies. We were able to shave $40,000 off that to approximately $472,000. As a preliminary initial number there. So please review those, look at those. We'll deal with the equalization thing at the end there, but I want folks to be aware of that, okay? Secondly,
we'll probably have to do some quick math because if you're going to lock them into that 126,844, we have to do. Might want to call Patty and have her be doing that math because she'll have to divide.
I gave her a copy of this when she left.
I wonder if she knows, though, she's going to, you know what I mean? You have to take the county valuation and do the division so that you come up with the maximum levy that
the
we can authorize them.
No.
Could you give her a quick call and give her that heads up?
I think this is what you're referring to.
You want me to do it in my head?
This is the amount that...
There you go. You used to do a lot of that.
So I guess the discussion is, with those tax levying entities, if you want... to not make the reduction on those particular ones, we need those are the ones we have to figure out today. So think about we'll move on, but we'll think about that. Secondly, our preliminary wage adjustments. Again, everything we're discussing today is preliminary. So if you go through here and look, you'll see, of course, I've got a color copy, so mine's in red. Yours is not. So you'll have to actually go through and look at the numbers to see that, but you'll see 09-10, the vast majority had 0% wage adjustments. The proposed this year would be 2%. Now there's some that there's larger percent increases, so be aware of those, but the vast majority are 2%. And I would say 2% specifically to what the county board is, those employees that the county board's control of. You'll see other adjustments made for folks that had 0% last year. That would be in response to that step plan that we worked on to try and get away from departments, with all due respect, leapfrogging one another. So we try to get consistency within those. So All of these numbers have been shared with the elected officials. It's up to them whether or not they actually want those. So that was a proposal that's put out there. I guess the nuts and bolts at the end of that is we're looking at about, and sorry, jump around here. FOP is not in here because that's still negotiating. FOP is not in here. That's an unknown at this point, okay? That being said, based looking at apples last year to apples this year, pulling the FOP out last year, pulling the FOP out this year, remember the FOP last year got some significant wage adjustments. Mm-hmm. So just know that that was there last year. But trying to do apples to apples, we pulled those out this year.
FOP got a 6.8.
The officers got 6.8, and the corrections had a 4. General, there's a few that, you know, that we may have
6,
frozen.
6.8 and a 4 last year.
And that was done to bring them up a little closer to speed.
That's because there was comparables that we had looked at. We'd gone through and looked at the data that was available to us and recognized there needed to be some adjustments there.
When is that unknown going to become a known with those people?
A year from now.
That's, 3 years if we go to court.
Yeah.
May or may not.
At what point does the public find out what they're asking for?
At some point.
Lincoln and Omaha, they disclose that.
Yeah.
And I think the taxpayers have a right to know that.
Yeah, I would agree. And through good faith.
We're getting really close to that.
Okay.
From what I hear, I just sat
don't
in on one meeting.
Don't need any more
meeting,
discussion. Just so we know we're moving towards letting people know what they're asking for.
I think through good faith negotiations, there has to be a... agreeable to both sides that we're going to discuss. Is that correct? So
should be. But yeah. How many meetings have you had with the union, with the FOP? How many total meetings?
Five.
We're thinking
six.
Five meetings. So there has been negotiations.
There's been dialogue. It's just been. So if you look at, again, apples last year, apples this year, total wage package increase is about just over $17,000 proposed.
That's for how many employees? About
100 and, or.
Well, we count the sheriffs as 100 and some employees, so it's less.
So take off 25 from there. What do you got over there, Gus? Got you on a
75 employees, probably.
So 75 employees we're looking at. And remember, the vast majority of these, specifically who are under the direction of the board, got nothing last year. There were no wage adjustments. So if you want to look at a 2 year, there's 1% over 2 years. So be aware of that. Yes.
Question. Why, to me it's obvious, why is the highway department locked in at 2% and the courthouse employees ranging from 3 to 8?
Because what we need to do as a board is we need to go through and look at our comparables. Last year, the information that we had from Marlin when we did no wage adjustments at the highway is that the information he gave us was that they were comparable. But I think that's, again, that's a very good point, that we're going to have, if we're going to look at paying people appropriately and fairly for a day's work, we have to dive in and look at those. And so we had done that specifically because of, and I'll just say, the turmoil that took place in the courthouse of the different offices bouncing all over the place. We decided there's similar types of work that take place. And I think that we very appropriately need to look at that at the highway department as well.
So this is based on, again, comparable county studies that we've done internally, I mean, with information that the finance committee has gotten from other counties?
Mostly last year. Because last year, specific to the highway department, we didn't move anything last year based on Marlin says, well, they look like they're comparable. I remember that conversation. But we need to continue to look at them because as you sit and don't do anything, then you become non-comparable, employees become disgruntled, and then you end up negotiating again. And I think that the key needs to be fair to the employees, and then a lot of that negotiating, I guess, doesn't come up.
Terry,
so
to the highway department's employees, to their credit, I used to, in the time I've been on here, I'd get a few phone calls about the increases in wages and stuff, but to their credit, after last year when we didn't give them anything, I think we need to recognize that they were pretty good, and if they were disgruntled, I didn't know it, and I think they understood the economy that we're in, and hopefully the rest of these people will too. There's some pretty good raises in here considering we have most people are lucky to keep a job and some taking reduced salaries to keep their job, so I think we got to be recognizing that.
Now, what we haven't done is we haven't taken anything away. What you'll see is there's a couple employees in the positions in the county that are considered topped out, and they'll get a one-time the proposed would be a one-time $600 payout. Their hourly rate would stay the same, but they would get a payout. And the initial step plan that we looked at, I think we were looking at a 3% of their gross annual salary. They get that paid out one time at the rate, so all their hourly and the overtime would be figured. So they kind of cap out, but you recognize here's a long-term employee. There's some value to that, but it doesn't compound every year. So it'd be a one-time payout. But again, we're not taking anything away, but their hourly rate just stays there. They're at the top of the scale. They're one of the highest paid employees in the county. They stay there.
I guess I'm a little bit surprised that some of the counties we contacted, you know, to try to get some more information are reluctant to tell us anything. They just
don't want to talk, huh?
They just don't want to talk, you know, and that's too bad.
I wish, again, NACO could be more helpful to us. I just think, you know, like the state teacher, I don't know, it's the State Teachers Union or is it the Association of Schools, but somebody puts out a statewide report where any citizen can see what any teacher and what increase they're getting anywhere in the state. And these are public employees. I wish that kind of information were gathered by our county organization and made public. That's one cry I would continue to make. The other is just same old story. You know, the ones who have jobs really don't know there's a recession or depression, but boy, the tens of hundreds and maybe thousands of people, be hundreds in our jurisdiction, who don't have jobs, things are incredibly tough without a lot of prospects of them getting better. And I just have a little bit of angst about, you know, increases of any significance, particularly when the state is cutting and having days without pay and people being frozen in pay. And we certainly know what Omaha is going through. I just want to be real careful that just because the counties have a little more reliable income source, being the property tax versus cities and state who have to rely so much on income and sales tax, that we don't get overly generous.
Maybe we should have a wheel tax.
Yeah, like Omaha charges people from Pawnee County that come in here. Yeah. We already charge them every time they shop in our town. So
I'd like to step through. Everyone has an expenditure sheet here. I'm just going to flip through very quickly. But please, that I believe Don printed those off last night. So that's the most current, hottest off the press. So look through that, make any recommendations. Preliminary, yes. There's a buzzing in my head. Does anyone else hear that? Anyway,
when do we vote on this budget, final budget?
Next meeting.
Better 2 weeks, you have to.
2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
So spend a little time looking at this. Give us some feedback. 2 weeks. Just as we flip through this, just to make...
I did give a copy to all the department heads too last night. Put it in their tray. So, and I just wrote that it was a preliminary. So, feedback from any officials or department heads, they've gotten a copy now.
Okay, so let me flip through this as you go through, and I wanna thank the elected officials and for the most part the department heads, because they really did turn in a flat budget with the exception of any wage adjustments that's there. As I went through this. Again, ad nauseum, and there's always a million different things you can talk about, but some of the highlights that are on there, go through building and grounds. Again, there's $150,000. We whittled that back, and I say whittle because I'm kind of a hatchet, but Ron's really good at whittling. So we whittled down to about $130,000, and that'll be in building and grounds for the jail. There's also some dollars in there for courthouse building and courthouse remodeling. Let me put little bullet points in here. You'll see also this year, Don, correct me if I'm wrong, but we tried to make sure there's a fuel expense for every department so everyone's accountable for their own fuel. I think that got a little bit convoluted as to who was using what, and that way everyone's accountable. It shows up in their budget. Let's see here.
Clarify on the fuel. Everyone did pay for their own fuel out of travel expenses. We just put a separate
line item, so it will show actual fuel. Emergency management, you'll see there's a big number there, 60,000. That's that 2.5 or 3 year project Mark talked about to update the radios so that they can handle the radio frequency that will be coming. Those will be EMPG dollars, so some of those will come back. So you'll see there's a big $60,000 hanging out there. Go try to flip through quickly here, and I'm not trying to diminish the importance. I just want to touch on some things since everyone's got it in front of them. Now, Gus, I'm glad you're here. There's still this grant that's out there. It shows up as an expenditure. It's pass-through dollars, but it's $280,000, $140,000 for your department. Realistically, is that ever going to...
The last I knew, County Attorney had called. A portion of it had been approved. It's just the way the Obama administration is running things now. It's very difficult for Highway Safety to tell me when the money comes down and how much we got. So we just put it in there because we had to have it something budgeted in case we come across at some point in time. So.
Because that would or does affect our spending lid? It
no,
does not. Okay.
All right. Pass through. Okay. If he doesn't get the money in, it won't be.
So spent. You'll see that as 140 and 140, but those are passed through. That's not in addition to the budget.
280 in the revenue, but if it doesn't come in, they can't spend it.
Let's see. Of course, there's a fringe of the courthouse. I think the $185,000 shows up in there. Again, those would be pass-through dollars. Road fund, you'll see $319,000 of that budget is capital equipment that I would consider the tractor trailer and the motor grader. And try to remember $319,000 in my synopsis. That I think that'll make some sense here towards the end. Other point of interest. There's some chamber and tourism that's in here. I think those numbers are actually down a little bit. Those are pass-through dollars.
Insurance,
that's...
An insurance fund that we...
Yes, we're going to start... There's an insurance fund that will start because historically we've had a very good experience in being self-funded. That things change. And so what we need to do is set up a rainy day fund and sock away a little bit of money each year so that if you do have a bad experience, you have something to draw on. So we will now have an insurance fund that we'll set. I believe we're going to start off with $20,000 this year, just a starting point. So go through and look at those funds, and that's the purpose for that. It's not to pay all the insurance out of, but it's kind of that rainy day emergency fund.
It's a cash, cash reserve fund for you, for emergencies if something happens. And it's the same thing we do for road and bridge, emergency, that sort of stuff. It's a sinking fund, basically.
Inheritance fund, there's $500,000 we have in there for courthouse remodel, and I believe, Ron, we talked... Estimated total expense is $2.8, and approximately 350 proposed to finish. Is that right? Ish, 350-ish?
Yeah, it's about 300,000, I think.
Okay, 300,000.
Yeah.
300-ish.
And we're up to 2.8 now.
2.8. Yep. So just an update there, and you'll also see that as we go through that, we try to expense, not that we have to spend it, but we like to show that we're going to expend all of inheritance, because if for some reason something happens and there's a few things hanging out there, you want to have the ability and those dollars open to be able to spend if you need them. The other thing notable is expenses in our budget is we've got a courthouse bond payment of $775,000 and the road bond payment of $125,000. So almost $1 million there in bond payments we'll be paying out. I guess those could be considered our mortgages. I think that the takeaway is why I said to remember the $319,000, unless Dawn's changed the numbers, which she may have on me, but yesterday evening we worked on this a little bit. Proposed tax rate at this point is 0.453685.
Say again, please.
0.453685. Last year was 0.446138. That is an increase in tax asking of 0.007 cents. So 0.7 of a cent. If you look at the total request that'll bring in from property taxes, every cent we levy is about $184,629. That'll bring in $8,376,000. Last year, tax asking was $7.839. roughly $400,000 increase. It's more than that, but $319,000 of that was capital equipment. And there were a few increases in some of the departments. So I guess the takeaway is we've really tried to not grow the tax asking at all. That means there's reductions and cuts and holds. So we try to be responsive, you know, like Dave said, looking at the economy that we're in, not trying to be too burdensome to the taxpayer. But remember, if you're, and I would implore everyone to pick out your tax receipt that you get or tax bill that you get from the assessor's office. You know, we're dealing with 37 cents of that.
So I was going to mention the Bill Wheeling. Most of that goes to school.
Yeah, there's so if you look at all, and I've said this, and I've always got to be careful in the audience, but if you look at all the services, law enforcement, the bureaucracy of government, health and safety, everything that we do here, infrastructure, roads, bridges, is county government a pretty good bargain for what you pay?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not a rhetorical question. I think that there is. So as we go through, you look, last year we budgeted almost $21 million expenditures. We spent just over almost $15.5 million. This year we have proposed less at $17.8 million. Now, the 900-pound gorilla in the room is there's not the bond issue to be spent there. But what we're proposing is a smaller expenditure than what we had last year. Oh, she's going to correct me. It's not 37 cents. Currently, it's 34 cents. So, again, look at all we're doing for only 34 cents of the levy. So, that's an update. Again, Ron, I got an appreciation for what you've done for 3 years. Don's been a big help. Ron and Shirley have, too, and we've sat around, so has Rex. So, those are some of the preliminary numbers. We'll get this together. It'll come before the board in 2 weeks for final approval. Please go through there and recognize that if we put money someplace, it's probably got to come from somewhere else. Now, Don, on the spending lid, that was kind of where we had to jockey some numbers because there's a limit as to how much we can spend. It's a combination of the levy and how much you can spend, and we're under our spending lid by
$14,000.
$14,000. So there's not a whole lot of wiggle room. And I think if you go through and you look at where we're trying to be for tax asking and expenditures, 0.7 cents increase, I don't think is too bad.
Do we have a copy of the levy rates that you were just talking about, or is that on a separate sheet?
Don has this.
Do we have?
And this, you don't have that yet. That's what will be published.
I'm sorry.
Could we get preliminary write on it preliminary and make some photocopies? Yeah. I think that'd be helpful for us to kind of.
Because I do have to add this insurance fund and stuff in there because that has not been.
So I don't want to make light of spending other people's money. I don't think anyone takes an extreme pleasure in doing that. But we do, you know, we're here to provide services for the county and make sure that we're providing for infrastructure. So that's a preliminary budget. Now, that being said, that is also by reducing some of our tax levying entities, the Historical Society and the Ag Society. That's keeping them to what they were last year. So why I say this is preliminary is if the board decides in this meeting that we're going to take action and give them what they wanted based on the resolution, then again we'll have to go back and rework these numbers and change some things.
Will we be able to see, and can somebody calculate in dollars real fast what they're asking for in addition to that might affect some of our decisions, you know, if the their board wanted 3,000 more, or whether they wanted 10,000 more, might be a little.
And I appreciate the fact that we're discussing this because I think it is important that everyone feels like they're informed.
As when we leave this meeting, we'll adjourn and we'll call the equalization back in. We will have to take action on that.
$3,171 for Ag Society. That's
so
the increase.
Fair is asking for 3,000 more.
3,000 and Historical Society.
About 1,300, a little less.
Yeah, 1,356. Not one.
A total of.
And I know
a total of those two. I'm sorry. I'm
plus 30
in here. 4,500. $4,500 total.
But you got to remember, the Humane Society took a $10,000 hit.
And you've taken Hope Crisis completely out for $2,500. Huge amount. But more services in Gage County than any other county, and every other county supports it.
Hope Crisis is one that the county attorney advised us not to support.
No, yeah, I could tell you why if you wanted to do it privately.
The Hope Crisis is requested $6,153. Yeah. Okay.
So
we had $2,500 last year.
Okay.
So do we want to chew that a little bit? Ask the Finance Committee why they're. I mean,
what's embarrassing is every other county that supports Hope Crisis supports them much more than we do at $2,500, and then we take it completely at $2,500. And they provide more services in Gage County to moms and kids who are abused and whose lives many times are threatened, who they put, it's crisis. It's not victim assistance. It's crisis. And the amount of money that we put into that is just... If you'd see some of the personal stories and the personal experiences that I've seen of the people that they have helped that are in terrible danger, that 25, just to keep it the same would just be in, you know, at least saying we recognize it.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Gary.
I guess, Denny, to kind of follow along, and we've talked about this a couple of times. I don't know, was it the chief of police that had the idea that it was the same service that his victim's assistant? Yeah, I know it's not, but
it's
I think that came into the conversation.
Yes, it did. Didn't no it? Question.
I want to make sure my memory was still...
You're absolutely right.
Okay.
Well, I can only tell you, budgets are budgets. Not everybody's going to be pleased. Some will be pleased, some won't be pleased. I can see that... Agencies in here are just not going to like what we're doing. But
this was the Finance Committee's proposal. If we're not real happy about it, we as a board, again, we can go back and whittle, but it's got to come from somebody else. I'm comfortable with a 0.7 of a levy increase and using 34 cents for what we're doing. I think I can, you know, I can handle that. I can walk out and I can answer questions, but I don't think that I don't think that it's not going to come from somewhere else. There's going to have to be a reduction of somewhere else.
We're within $14,000 of our spending cap.
Yeah, that's something you got to keep
that in mind
a bit.
And then these other agencies are requesting another $4,500 that you didn't have calculated. So that has to come out of that $14,000, right? Yep. So if we grant this $4,500, then we're down to the
$9,000
something change.
Without taking it from somewhere else.
Which isn't, without taking it from somewhere else. And Finance Committee, in my estimation, done a wonderful job. And we got more figures and more data. I think every year we, get better in the process. So it is down to, cut the bait time. If somebody's just really adamant, I suspect next meeting there needs to be motions on the agenda, I suppose.
Well, we've got to have a public hearing.
What you're going to cut.
Yeah. If you choose to change the budget during the September 8th meeting, I have to republish that form, and you have to have it again, because if you do any changing after it's published, it has to be redone.
I would just ask the Finance Committee to very carefully reconsider that decision to take $2,500 out of $513,000 budget and to reconsider that. $2,500 for moms and kids who are in danger. And every other county is supporting them in our district.
That's why we need your input next, week? At least.
Through the week. Go through and look at that. Go through the week. I think the
5 days before.
The idea of the finance.
5 days before the, September.
8th. So I have to have it. Anything you want done probably can get to me before the 1st, because we'll have to give it to the paper by the 1st to get it in time.
That's a week from today.
I think the Finance Committee, in doing this, we wanted to make sure everyone got the most up-to-date, active stuff, because we want that feedback. We want people to be a part of this. Yes, the Finance Committee's got to work on it, but it is the county's budget that we will be voting on. So,
I think I've given you my feedback. I think I've made it as clear as I can possibly make it.
And the sheer size and detail of this, at some point you just have to swallow hard and go ahead, even though there's at least $40,000 too little in here for tree spray and brush spray. And
hey, man, I got a quick question. What do you do with maintenance tanks? There's still funding going to that organization.
At this point, preliminary, there's not.
Okay, and here, this will affect my budget because there's been agreement with them in years past. Because of the money the board gave, they took care of my canine's food and vet costs. So if that happens, I need to know that because that will increase my line item for the canine then probably.
Yep.
Just so you know that.
Okay. Okay, so I guess folks comfortable with kind of where we're at on the budget, we'll work on some things there. Yes, Gary.
Gus just triggered a question in my mind. Does the city police have their own canine unit?
They do now.
How come you guys aren't working together using the same dog?
The same dog?
Yeah, save some. Are you using the? If you both have canine units, don't the dogs do the same thing?
They're trained to do, yes.
Couldn't there be a cooperative agreement? We'd split that expense.
Have one dog between us? Is that what you're saying?
They just got their dog.
Well, I understand, but I mean, at some point in time, when one of these old dogs goes to doggy heaven, why don't we make an agreement?
That's something I have to ask the city, why they went to their dog. I've changed it where my man offsets theirs, at least they're on opposite shifts, there's no overtime involved for anybody.
Yeah, I just thought possibly there could be an arrangement to save everybody some money. That's all.
So I guess with the Historical Society and Ag Society, that's kind of the next, when we adjourn here, that'll be our next 900-pound gorilla. So we need to discuss what.
Okay. You got a week.
No, not for the historical.
Not for those two.
No.
Well, no.
We're going to decide that today.
I'll decide that here
in
the next hour.
No, this other stuff, you got a week.
Or less if you can.
Yeah.
And that essentially is just to give your thoughts to the Finance Committee. I mean,
because
if we.
Absolutely.
Because if we come in here on the last day and start whacking around, it makes it really messy for everybody. I mean, it's doable, but it's very, very messy for everybody.
And that's
why I think historically some people get the idea these budgets get rammed through. But, I mean, at some point, just logistically, you have to just go.
So as the, I want to get back to the Ag Society thing. So what the request on their general levy, is that for the 130? Is that why we have the problem, or is it for the 126?
They wanted 130. That's what their request was.
Okay.
Now, if we left the levy, or if we froze their dollar amount, you have the figure at hand as to what the levy rate would be.
Right. And
so the motion can be very simple.
Five, yeah. If you go back to their request, that's going to increase your...
If we choose to leave it at the same.
Super.
Well, right. This is why we start at the latter part of June.
And there's still not enough time.
Yeah. And it just... If you really want to do it right, you got to start in June. No getting around it because it just... Legislature starts in December of the year before they probably work on a budget 6 months later.
They just do whatever the governor tells them.
Yeah. No.
No. Did I say that?
Yeah.
Why don't we go to a biennial budget?
Yeah, why don't we?
Hey, there you go.
Kind of like Lincoln?
Yeah, like the state.
Okay.
Probably legally we can't, even if we wanted. Apparently cities can if they choose to have a vote of the public.
You could put a casino on the blue.
Let's wind up the committee reports, and then we'll adjourn this meeting, then we'll get into equalization. Does that sound all right to folks?
No.
There is an executive.
Yeah.
I mean, there is reason for that.
I assume.
Is there an executive session needed?
It can be quick, but...
But we do need one.
I think.
Okay, let's finish committee reports in quick.
Okay, building and ground sprinkler lawn update. Sprinklers should be installed in a week or so in order to get the lawn seeded in the next 2 to 3 weeks. That's the best estimates we got right now.
Being done at Cheever's expense,
Cheever's
right?
Cheever's is responsible for that. It's part of his package bid. Ground floor flooring, Davis in the process getting quotes for the corridor on the ground floor. Should have those by the next committee meeting. The boiler bids for the East Handicap Ramp, that is now an electric boiler, and he's getting quotes for that. That provides the hot water for the coils in the east ground so it doesn't freeze. Flooring for the district court, the committee, with advice from legal counsel, decided to advertise for bids. You have already done that through the consent agenda. Windstream phone cable. Windstream, even after receiving approval a week ago to install 50 feet of 200 pair cable in a 2-inch PVC, which has been installed by the county at least a couple of weeks ago, one pedestal, two new 100 pair building entrance terminal, has not done anything since we gave their approval a week ago for $2,115 of material and $4,368.95 for labor to install 50 feet of cable, one pedestal, and two new 100 pair building entrance terminals. The delay in getting this cable installed, which is probably ridiculous and taking this long, to our phone system could very well delay having the county court employees get back to their offices on the second floor because they got to have phones. Windstream. I made a call to Mr. Dagenford yesterday as to why after a week the cables have not been installed. And by the way, I made that call on my Windstream cell phone. And at this time, Mr. Dagenford has not replied to my call. And I basically was saying, what do you need, a week, you know, to put 50 feet of cable in and a conduit that we've already put in? I don't think they've done anything. I mean, this is ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And I'll say it in front of everybody, my next phone call with my Windstream cell phone is to call the chairman of the PSC, or whatever you call that outfit, Public Service Commission. I do know the chairman of that committee personally. But, you know,
if my math is right, that's three times the amount that we'd pay to Hope Crisis for the next year.
But this is almost a crisis, too. I would hope news media.
This is a phone crisis.
This is a phone crisis.
Oh,
it is not as if these
life
people.
Phony
baloney. It is not as if these people knew that this had to be done 2 or 3 months ago. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Months and months they've been queued up.
And just a matter of putting a cable in 50 foot. I mean, it's just in a way.
Well, and 400 connections in all fairness, but.
Clip, 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 clip.
Yeah, 100 pair in each end's got to be spliced. But
so carpet's going to be installed the next week on the second floor and also the third floor conference room. Also, for those of you concerned, and a lot of people are, the Eagle that was damaged, it'll be done by Cheevers. We'll pay for that. Should be restored in the next 4 to 6 weeks. We talked about the lighting thing. The driver's license bureau appears will probably be around October 15th for the date they will be moving back into the courthouse on it. So,
just tell them what the hardwood floor is that we're going to be opening bids on.
We were advertising.
Yeah.
That was in our consent agenda.
Yeah,
to advertise for that, we'll open bids on that on the 26th or 22nd day of September. And the reason we went this way, basically we felt that this was a job that probably more than just Schottler Radigan could do by putting in floors and that sort of stuff. So that's why we opened up the bid. It's basically a recommendation from our legal counsel that we go on besides what the cost might be.
Have to be a significant amount.
Yeah. So that's the reason we're going for quotes on that. So that'll be advertised. So, anything else, committee? Good.
Any other committee? Shirley?
I attended the Rails and Trails meeting last night in place of Rex, which is rather embarrassing because after I got there, they said that Rex was going to have someone there in his place, but they didn't see anyone there in his place. So
he set him straight.
Somebody else did.
Good.
That was very embarrassing. But anyway, the Rails and Trails Homestead had his, I guess there was a window open that they could have money to buy land for easements for Rails and Trails. And their problem would be after they had the land bought that they would have to give the Rails and Trails to somebody else to maintain it after that because they couldn't, you know, they can't own any land. But after they took a vote on all their, or I shouldn't say a vote, but after they talked to all the landowners, this was apparently their second meeting of the, I'd say, 9 or 10 people that were there. There was only one gentleman that said he wouldn't care if the rails and trails went through his property. The other 9 or 10 said they didn't want to have a trail going through their property. So the issue is dead at this point. There will be no rails and trails going from the homestead to the Riverside Park because those property owners didn't want the trail going through their place. They said they wouldn't mind if they had a shoulder on the road of Highway 4 and that the bicycles would go down that trail like they did on Highway 77 rather than use the trail that was right next to it. But the highway man from the road department was there, and he said that would probably never happen because there would have to be like 4,000 cars on that road, and it didn't have the traffic to ever warrant putting a shoulder on that road at this time. So, and Mr. Engler then said by the time that anything like that would probably ever happen, that window would be closed and that money would not be there for them to buy the easement. So sounds like the issue is dead.
Would seem, since Highway 4 is scenic and it is the direct route to the homestead, that if anything like that were ever going to be developed, why couldn't you have like a safety bicycle pedestrian lane, you know, with roads department? They'll never cooperate, but
probably he did make mention of the fact that they had tried to, you know, go around.
Yeah, west, you can see where people wouldn't want them going through their yards and such. Yeah. And there's so many nice homes along there. Enough babble again. Any other committee reports?
I would just give an update on the EMS ambulance as we're proceeding. Last week, Gary and myself and Rex at various days met with the BLS non-transport squads and Adams and Claytonia to, again, continue the dialogue, answer any questions they have, go over the contract with them, and just continuing to move forward. I want to thank Beatrice, the Beatrice City Council, and Beatrice Fire and Rescue for stepping up to the plate and helping out Wymore in their difficult time right now. Sounds like there's mechanisms in place that there's going to be an end to that at some point, but I think that's great that Beatrice stepped up to help out that community. And as I have information, I'll keep everyone abreast of that. But again, that's just Beatrice's quality squad. Again, appreciate the City Council allowing that to take place. So continuing to move forward with those EMS contract talks, I guess, if you will, and hoping everyone comes on board.
Any other committees?
Insurance. Myself, Matt, Danny, I believe Rex was there, and Don met with Sam Nigro the other day, and some concerns have came up, and it sounds like we're going to have an increase in our insurance rates. I think before you have two emails, I'm not going to discuss the one, but I will discuss the one we've got dated this morning, actually, isn't it, Don?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the information that Sam's put together, and he has included in our packets some information on some different wellness programs that we think, we've talked about it a while back, but I think we're probably, a good chance we'll move towards doing something in that category. But Sam says here that based on the fixed expenses provided from the three proposals, the Independence American Renewal has the best overall expenses, and we're talking about going to a $500 the renewal of the $500 single deductible would be an overall fixed increase with expected claims of 8%. And they go through some of this other. The long and short of it is, we talked about going to a $1,000 deductible, and you guys correct me if I say something that we didn't talk about. But going to a $1,000 deductible because we don't have a large amount of employees that go over the 500 anyway, but it would save us some money on the upfront side, and the county would actually reimburse them, or they would be reimbursed the other 500 if they get to there at a later time, but it saves us money on the upfront cost. Did I say that correct? So I think that's what we're going to move to, and I think I would ask maybe we have one more committee meeting and then propose that and act on it, unless somebody would object to that. I think we need to take care of that. There are some other issues on some expenses, but I think we'll talk about that's nothing that we need to talk about here today. So,
Gary, with that eight percent.
By
going to $1,000 deductible and us financing the second 500,
it would be.
Does that reduce our?
Yeah, the renewal with $1,000 single deductible would be an overall fixed plus expected claims increase of 5%.
Okay.
So it's worth
absolutely.
Well worth it. And actually, the employees aren't going to see the difference anyway in the end, because if we hit that magic number, we're going to, you know.
Just another level of self-insurance, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
With the reserve, I'm not sure why we didn't start with the reserve several years ago when we started this program, which is typical on this type of program.
Well,
the amount of money we're saving versus what we were paying before and what we would project to pay, this is still tremendous for the taxpayers of this
county.
It
was my understanding that was what was being done, but...
No,
it wasn't. No.
Actually, Sam indicated we have probably saved about $750,000. I believe was the number he put out. So if you think about that, this has been a benefit to taxpayers, unlike I think anything we've done since I've been here.
And I think that Sam's recommendation is that your gross annual expense, you should be putting away 20%. I think.
Yeah.
And that would. That'd be $180,000, and so
and that would
we
take
can't
care
afford
of
to do
spikes.
That. So $20,000 is kind of a pittance. So,
Doug has a question.
$750,000, is that since he went to the self-insurance?
Yes.
Or is that
cumulative?
Since we went to it. It, and that was an approximate figure, but he pretty well knows. It's about $750,000 in what actually in government is probably a short amount of time. Huge savings.
Which would be about 4 cents as far as Olivia is concerned to pay for that $750,000.
Well, there you go. We've done well with it. And we'll probably do better if we start this little... Because some of those spikes we get when we have some out-of-the-ordinary illnesses, if we had, in a matter of a few years, if we do it right and put enough money in this special reserve, we wouldn't have to worry about that, and it would also reduce any... or keep us from maybe having increases or as high of an increase as we normally might have due to those extra illnesses that come along every once in a while. So I'll try to get a meeting. I'll let you guys know. I'll send you an email asking you what your schedule are tomorrow or the next day or something. We'll get together and maybe we'll try this to get something so we can present. Is that fine with you guys?
Your wellness program is the reason we don't have no candy jars in front of us anymore.
And no cigarette ashtrays here for you guys that used to smoke a lot. Things like that.
No coffee.
Now I don't think that's a big health issue. That's healthy for you.
Yeah, that's right.
Among with a few other things that I think are healthy.
Okay, any other committee reports? This road and bridge, we're continuing to develop a plan on what our committee's been tasked to do, and otherwise, I think Marlon covered everything else, but we're working out a kind of a systematic program to deal with the...
Still trying to kill trees,
Amos,
aren't we?
Trees and brush. Yeah, Alan Tover's... All right, going once, then we would go to executive session. There's no further general business.
What about the...
Well, we'll have to do, we'll do this, then we'll adjourn, then we'll call equalization.
Okay.
While we're in general session, we need an executive session to discuss personnel issues at the request of Matt. So moved by Matt.
Yes.
Is there a second?
Yes.
Second by Barner to go into executive. We don't anticipate this to be very long, right?
It's quick.
So media, et cetera, can stand outside till we... Because it'll be an important vote when we come back
wait,
and...
Wait, please vote.
Wait.
Okay, yep. Now you can.
Okay, 6-0 to go to executive. We will.
Set them down in the room together where you can't deny.
Hey, it is 11:31. So much for getting out of here early today. We'd like to is there a motion? Is there a motion to come out of executive session?
So move.
Second by Flea, second by Byers. Please vote. 6-0 to come out of executive session. Is there any further business for the general meeting? Hearing none, I'm just going to declare the meeting adjourned. There's no further business. 11:31.